Being born again is used in all sorts of contexts nowadays. We see it and hear it in the names of secondhand stores. If someone decides to make a big job move, they might say, "My career has been born again." For us old folks, we might say, "This makes me feel born again," when we do something or we buy something that reminds us of our younger years. So the phrase born again has taken on a lot of meanings. Some things being used again, or anybody who's had any kind of life-changing experience or dramatic change in direction in their life, or even to feel rejuvenated. The biblical meaning of being born again, though, is so much more. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus in our lesson today. Our gospel text comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of our Lord. Now, Jesus has met many people during his time, and in every case, their lives were transformed dramatically. In our text today, Jesus meets Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were the most religious of all the groups among the Jews, the ones most devoted to God at the time. They made sure they observed all of their Sabbath and Jewish festivals. They were very careful about what they ate. They would do all of their fasting, and they would make sure they did their tithing. If it were possible to know Jesus by following rules and laws if it were possible to know Jesus by how good you were. Nicodemus would have known Jesus, but it isn't, and he didn't. Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel, a teacher of the Jewish law. He interpreted the Jewish law for everyone. He knew scripture inside and out. If it were possible to know the role that Jesus played in our lives just by knowing the scriptures, Nicodemus would have known the role of our Savior. But it isn't. And he didn't. He didn't even know that the scriptures were about Jesus. Nicodemus was also a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin ran the city of Jerusalem. Nicodemus was powerful. He was influential. But being powerful and influential doesn't have a hand in one's salvation. If it did, Nicodemus would have been born again by the time he met Jesus. But he wasn't at that time. Nicodemus was trying to get close to Jesus. Maybe Nicodemus was trying to make some kind of power move to get Jesus on his side. He goes to see Jesus at nighttime, though, because he was still concerned and worried about what his fellow Pharisees might think. So he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with them." So he goes over at nighttime, pays Jesus a visit, and says, "Jesus, let me talk to you for a little bit. God is with you, and Jesus, God is with me. You have answers, Jesus, and I have answers, Jesus. You have something that can help me, and I have something that can help you." Nicodemus was thinking big. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, Jesus, all together. Dream team. How could they be stopped? If Nicodemus was thinking this notion, Jesus shut it down right away. "Thanks, but no thanks. You have nothing I need, but I am everything you need." And he replied to Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, when Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again, he didn't understand. Now, the Greek phrase for being born again is kenethe anothen, which also means born from above, born from God. Jesus gave Nicodemus a phrase which he could have interpreted one or two ways: born again or born from God. So what did Nicodemus do? Instead of looking directly at God for the answers, for guidance, for help, he looked to himself for the answers. He tried to lean on his own understanding, and even that didn't do him any good. He said to Jesus, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Nicodemus was confused because he thought he had it going on. He thought he had it all figured out. For him to hear that he needed to be born from above just sounded crazy. for him to hear that he needed to start over after he had come along such a way was crazy. That idea sounded crazier to him than a man physically re-entering his mother's womb. Why would it need to be born from above, born from God? Seems so crazy to Nicodemus. Nicodemus already thought he was from God. He couldn't comprehend that he wasn't deserving enough of God's love and God's blessings. Jesus told Nicodemus, though, don't be surprised. But Nicodemus said, yeah, Jesus, I am surprised. I'm a Pharisee. What about all the religious observances I've been doing all my life? That doesn't count. I'm a teacher of the law, Jesus. What about all the learning and the studying of the scriptures? That doesn't go just a little bit towards my salvation. I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. I teach people. I help people. Jesus, I'm a good person. That doesn't count. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you got to start from nothing. You got to start from nowhere. I have to forgive you. I have to save you. And I have to build you up. You have to be born again, born anew, and born from above. Nicodemus couldn't understand that he himself wasn't by nature acceptable to God. Nicodemus was spiritually proud. It's our pride that causes some to leave the church. It's our pride that causes some not to even attend church. It's the pride of highly religious people. Maybe you grew up in a church. Maybe your dad, your uncle, your grandfather was a pastor. Think you got it going on, but you don't. It's the pride of the unchurched folks that think they don't need God in their life. I don't need to come to church to worship. They think they have it going on, but they don't. You don't get to know who Jesus is by following rules. When it comes to knowing Jesus, going to church a lot, giving to the church, being passionate about the church. These are all good things, but they don't go towards your salvation. It isn't a test of memory or even developing some high level of understanding of scripture. Knowing the scriptures doesn't give anyone an advantage. I have personally met people and seen people who know scripture very well, but they don't know who the scriptures are talking about. It's not what we know, it's who we know and what we know he has done for us. Jesus references the Torah from our second lesson to explain how we need to be born again, how everything points to Christ, and how that we should always be focused on what he did for us on the cross. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. We have to look at Jesus. We have to know, we have to believe, and we have to be thankful for the sacrifice that he has made for us if we want to live. I don't know about you, but I want to live. Everything points to Jesus. Our salvation is through Jesus. It will not come automatically. We're not born with it. It's nothing that we can do to earn it. But when the Spirit is given to you and you embrace it with faith, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. What does being born again point to? Well, just look at the miracle of childbirth. It's our mother's labor. It's our mother's burdens, her sacrifice and bleeding that brings us into the world. You cannot birth yourselves, and you cannot make yourself a Christian. Your salvation is God's labor. Your faith is God's grace. Your life is his life on the cross. Look at it. To be born again means a humbling of self and a total dependence on God. I'm truly thankful and blessed to be a pastoral assistant here at St. Marcus, to be able to share God's word with you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ. But if I look back, I'm humbled because I originally learned the word of God from a five-year-old eating graham crackers and fruit snacks. And she wasn't even a good teacher. She was the kind of teacher that made you feel bad when you didn't know the answer. What do you mean, Dad? You didn't know that Jesus came into the world. And if you believe in him, you live with him in heaven forever. You didn't know that? Are you from Milwaukee, Dad? She thought everybody from Milwaukee was a Christian because she was always around Christians. She would say, Dad, I gotta know. Were you born before Jesus or after Jesus? How come none of this stuff I'm telling you is sinking in? That was when I was still flesh. I'm thankful that I'm born from above. I also have a lot better teachers now. No offense, Vanna. So what happened to Nicodemus? He too was born again. We meet him standing up for Jesus against the Pharisees in John chapter 7. And then we find Nicodemus alongside Jesus' tomb in John chapter 19. Isn't our God wonderful? He provides a way for us to be saved. God doesn't want to shame us. God is considerate. He's thoughtful. He's always thinking of you. God doesn't want to condemn us. He sent Jesus into this world to rescue us, to love us. God doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to protect us and bring us home to heaven safely. That's why he died on the cross for our sins. He took on the shame. He took on the pain. And he took away our sins. So now, before our Father in heaven, we are righteous because we have his Spirit. Look at him and live. Be born again by the Spirit and enjoy God's grace. Believe in him and have eternal life. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.